Make sure it's running. Start the counter. Okay, Mr. Paul, you do realize that this conversation is being recorded for our oral history project, and today is the 18th of April, 2005.
Right.
All right, great. Okay, and let's see. We're going to start out with a few background questions.
Questions would be easier for me.
Okay, you were, you served in the Marine Corps from 1942 to 1946, is that correct?
On active duty until 1946,
yes. Yes, sir, okay. And you were in the Marine Corps. Okay, and let's see, what theaters did you serve in?
Well, I was in the Pacific, the South Pacific and Central Pacific for the entire war.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's see. Yeah, all right, that seems to be the end of the background questions. Let's get into, we're going to get into the World War II oral history interview questions now, and then I'll do some follow-up questions at the end. Okay, what was your life like before the war?
Oh, I didn't get that. What was it?
What was your life like before the war?
Well, just normal. Well, I wasn't a teenager. I was 24 years old when the war started. Working as a warehouseman for the Fuller Paint Company in Butte, Montana, unloading boxcars and stocking shelves and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes, sir. And did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I was an only child.
The only child. Okay.
My mother, however, did raise raise a nephew who was raised like a brother to me.
Yes, sir.
So I always considered him my brother.
Okay, and you said you were working at the paint company there?
Yes,
before
it was paint and glass.
Okay.
Retail store.
Okay, now did you volunteer or were you drafted?
Yeah, when the draft came along, of course I had to register for the draft, and I had a low priority number for the Army, when the war started, I knew that the draft to the Army was breathing down my neck. So a buddy and myself decided we'd join the Navy. So we went to, the day after Pearl Harbor, that Monday, we went up to the recruiting station and went to see the Swabbies. And while we were there, the Marines were sharing the same quarters with the Navy recruiters. And we got dazzled by the Marine uniforms, I suppose. I don't know. We joined the Marines instead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I kind of got into the Marines by default.
Yes, sir. Okay, now, were you single or were you married?
I was single.
You were single. Okay. Did you have any political leanings before the war?
No. I was apolitical, I guess. My family were, I suspected were diehard Republicans. I didn't consider myself either party.
Yes, sir. Okay. What was your greatest daily concerns prior to the war?
My greatest what?
Daily concerns. Like, what were you what were your daily?
Oh, I don't know. I was a child of the Depression, and we were just really getting out of over the Depression. My family had been on what we called relief, and they ran up huge grocery bills and cashed in insurance policies and everything to stay alive during the Depression. So we were still in the process of paying off those debts.
Yes, sir.
So I was pleased to bring home my puny little paycheck and help out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, what was your family's perception regarding military service?
I wasn't aware of any pro or cons.
Okay.
They weren't against it, but I don't think they were especially anxious for me to enlist in anything.
Yes, sir. Okay, was there anyone in your family or community who was a veteran of World War One or other conflicts?
I had an uncle that was in the Army during World War One.
And how did he influence your thinking about the military?
I don't think he influenced me at all, really. Okay. We never really discussed World War One very much in our house. In fact, we never discussed war at all, as far as I recall.
Yes. Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's see, what were your perceptions of the war and its combatants prior to the United States getting involved in it?
In retrospect, I can't believe that I was so unconscious of what was going on the world stage at the time. I think the actual start of the war came as a complete surprise to me. Now, you know, later now, and reading about it, there are all kinds of signs that we were headed for war. We knew there was a war going on in Europe, but I certainly wasn't looking toward the West and Japan as a... I probably thought eventually we'd get into the European War and follow the pattern of the First World War, but I never once expected war to erupt in the Pacific.
Yes, sir.
I never had any idea that we were having problems with the Japanese. That certainly must have been in the news. I just ignored it, I guess.
All right, what were your opinions regarding U.S. actions prior to the war? How did you feel about the isolationism?
I was a little ashamed, I think, of us sitting back and letting the French and the English do the dying over there. I felt that Hitler was wrong. I thought that war in Europe was a bad thing, and I thought the Germans should be stopped. And I thought I suppose if I thought very hard about it, I think we should be over there helping them with things besides material things like supplies and so on.
Yes, sir.
But I didn't feel strongly enough about it to want to join the service to go over and do it.
Okay. And where would you say you were getting most of your information about world events before?
I suppose the newspapers and radio. I'm sure. We didn't have television, so it would have come from the daily newspapers and radio broadcasts.
Okay. Did your heritage, you know, your ethnicity, did that affect your perceptions of the combatants, like the Japanese or the Germans?
Well, both in my ancestral heritage has been English on both sides, for far back as I know, Cornish, in fact. So, of course, my sympathies were with the English, Great Britain. I felt no particular anti-German basis. I did consider them the warlike people. They had started the war in 1939, I guess, and they had started an earlier one back in 1916
and 14. Okay. Where were you, and what were you doing when you found out that Pearl Harbor had been attacked?
I was working with my dad remodeling our house. I think we were digging out the basement to put a full basement in the house when I can remember my mother hollering down the basement steps saying that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. And I wasn't even sure I knew where Pearl Harbor was. And of course the next day the president declared war. We knew where it was then.
Okay, what was your initial response to it?
Well, like I said, the next day I went up and enlisted in the Marine Corps.
Yes, sir.
It sounds awfully gung-ho right now as I say it, but I knew that it was inevitable that I was going to get in some branch of the service, and I wanted to have a little say-so myself in that decision, so I decided that I'd enlist in what I wanted to be in rather than get drafted into something.
Yes, sir. Well, what was your family's response to...
Well, I think my mother was aghast, and I don't think they were very happy about it. I can always remember a friend saying to my mother, why did you let him do that? She says, you know, the Marines are always the first to fight and the first to die. And that, of course, didn't sit very well with my mother. And I thought it was a very non-diplomatic statement to make for the friend to make to my mother.
Yes, sir. Okay, what was your community's response to the attack at Pearl Harbor?
Nothing unusual that I can recall. We had a lot of support. There were a lot of going away parties and pats on the back. And I was hero for a while.
All right, how did you feel about Jeanette Rankin not voting for the war?
I always admired Jeanette Rankin. I didn't agree with her philosophy, but I admire the guts of the woman. She had made the statement that she would never vote for war, and she wouldn't, even in the face of knowing that it was going to end her political career by that vote against the war after Japan attacked. But so I've always had kind of a lingering admiration for her courage, political courage, whether I agreed with her decision or not.
All right. Where did you do your basic training, and for how long?
I went boot camp in San Diego, the Marine Recruit Depot in San Diego, California. We were there, I think it was about 6 weeks training at the time. I'm not sure how long it lasted. It seemed like a long time.
Okay, was it what you expected, the training?
Well, yeah, we'd heard all the horror stories about boot camp and how tough it was, and mostly they were true. It was pretty rugged, but I survived.
And did your drill instructors, did they keep you informed of world affairs?
I don't think we were ever told about world affairs. Our immediate concern was to obey orders and get up and do what we were told.
Okay, and how was military life different from your civilian life?
Oh, it was entirely different. We were regimented from the moment we woke up in the morning until we went to bed at night. Everything was prescribed. You didn't have to think. They did all your thinking for you. Everything was by the book. There was a regulation for every possible thing that could happen to you. So it was we're just like robots. We responded to any command that was given to us.
Yes, sir. Okay, how did you feel about being away from home?
Oh, well, it was, of course, lonesome, but they kept, actually, you were so busy you didn't have time to be homesick. You didn't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You were too busy doing things.
Okay, did you have any contact with people from home or anything while you were?
Well, just by letter. And when we got out of boot camp, of course, we were not allowed to use the telephone, but when we got out of boot camp, of course, I could call home and talk to my family.
Okay, what do you remember most about your basic training?
Oh, I don't know, the constant harassment, insults, and tearing down your ego, and I think I wrote in my story that I think the Marine Corps philosophy was correct. They beat your personality into a pulp, and then they reshape it to suit themselves. They make good Marines out of you.
Okay, what did you like the most?
I guess the friends I made, friendship. Misery loves company, I guess, and we were all miserable, so we used to got to depend on each other.
Okay, what did you like the least?
Well, same thing, I guess, the regimentation. The lack of pure self-determination or choice. You couldn't do anything that you wanted to do. You had to have permission to do anything.
Okay. What did you do for a recreation during your time at San Diego Marine Corps Recruiting?
During boot camp, there was no recreation, but I guess it was movies mostly after we got out of boot camp into an outfit.
Okay, for you coming from Montana, what was it like meeting people from around the country?
Well, naturally, I was considered a hayseed or cowboy. Everybody from Montana was supposed to be a cowboy, and I was older than most of the recruits. I was 24, and most of them were in their late teens, so I was called Dad or Pa, and I had the advantage of age on them. Then I had a certain amount of clout with my friends because I was older than they were.
Did it create any tensions? Or
no, not that I'm aware of.
Did it change your previous perceptions of people, other people from around the country?
No, I don't believe so. Most of the men I met in boot camp were from the West Coast, or mid-US, people from the Eastern Seaboard, you know, New York, New Jersey, and in there went to boot camps in on the West Coast in Virginia and North Carolina. So we were mostly Midwesterners and Westerners.
Yes. Okay, how well do you think your Marine Corps basic training prepared you for combat?
Oh, I think it was adequate. Probably could have lasted longer, but then we were, you know, wartime situation, so didn't have time to spend too much time learning the fine points. You learn fast after you got out of boot camp when you got into combat.
How well do you feel that the Marine Corps mentally prepares you for combat?
Very well, I think. And I think they're doing a good job still.
And how well do you feel that you were physically prepared?
Physically?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was in better physical shape then than I've ever been before or since.
Okay, can you describe some of your training?
What do you mean, combat training, or?
Yes, sir. Just any part of your training you found interesting.
Well, we of course learned how to take a rifle apart and reassemble it and shoot it and aim it. And we did a lot of close order drill, marching, and when I got out of boot camp, I was assigned to an artillery battalion, so we learned about firing cannons, howitzers, and running observation posts and running surveys to survey gun positions, target areas. I think my training was quite adequate for the job at hand.
What were your expectations when you were getting ready to leave basic training? I mean, what did you think that you were going to do after you left Diego?
I don't think I ever thought about it. I figured that somebody would tell me what to do. I was getting used to being told what to do by then.
Okay. All right, where were you when you heard that the news of the war was over?
I was actually home on leave when the war in Europe ended. This was in May, I think, of 1945. And I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, California, when the Japs surrendered. I think I was making Liberty in Los Angeles at that time.
Let's see, how did you feel about how the war ended?
Oh, overjoyed. I never once regretted the fact that we dropped an A-bomb and killed thousands and thousands of people. I figured in the long run it saved more lives than it destroyed. And if it hadn't been for that, I'm sure we'd have had to make an invasion of the islands of Japan, and that would have been a bloodbath. Because the Japs never gave up. They never surrendered.
Okay, what were your expectations once the war ended? I mean, what did you think was going to happen after the...
I thought life would go on just as usual. My expectation was to get out of the service as fast as possible and get home and get on with the business of picking up the pieces of my life.
Okay, what was the trip home like? How did you get home?
I actually had my dad's car. When I was transferred from California to Quantico, Virginia, after the Japs surrendered, I was transferred to Virginia to the Marine base there, and I stopped off in Montana, flew to Montana, and I took my dad's car, drove it back to Virginia, so I had a car to drive home when I got on inactive duty, got home just in time for Thanksgiving Day, 1945.
home? I mean, did you feel apprehensive or?
Oh no,
just glad to get home.
Glad to get home.
Okay, how did you feel about leaving your friends in the Marine Corps?
Well, I suppose there was some regret, and you probably felt you'd probably never see some of them again. But then, there's anticipation in coming back and being with your family again.
Did you keep in contact with any of the friends you made in the Marine Corps? Or?
Oh yes, we have our battalion was dubbed the Forgotten Battalion, some by the Leatherhead magazine back in 1944, I think. And so we've had 18 annual reunions since then, and I've kept in very close contact with one particular man who lives in Chicago. He and his family have visited out here with me, and I visited him. And we talk to each other at least once or twice a week now on the telephone. And then, of course, I meet with other friends at the reunion, annual reunions. So I'm in close contact with, say, about five guys that I knew during combat.
Okay, what was the first thing you did when you got home back to Butte? How did people react to you when you returned home?
No particular reaction that I could see. Nothing I recall.
Okay. What was your community like after you returned? Was there anything different about it?
No, it seemed to be the same as the one I left. It hadn't changed much in 4 years.
Okay. And let's see, how was civilian life different from your military life?
Oh, 100% different. I was on my own again. I could make my own decisions.
Okay, what was the easiest adjustment from military life to civilian life?
I don't know. The whole thing was easy. I don't recall any traumas or post-depressions or anything that some of these soldiers that are coming back from war seem to suffer now. I just seem to adjust to being a civilian again.
Okay, was there anything difficult about it, or it was just...
No, not that I can recall.
Okay, what benefits did you receive from the military, and how did you use them?
The GI Bill was quite good, I guess, but I never received anything from it. I could have gone to school under the GI Bill and had my tuition paid, but as it happened, I piddled around and worked for the company that I was working for before the war, and didn't decide to quit my job and go back to college until my benefits had run out, so I didn't even get the GI Bill for education. So, but a lot of guys came back. They call it the 5240 club or something. You got $40 a week for 52 weeks. But I went right to work.
Okay. What about the war made the biggest impact on you?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay, how would you sum up your service? I mean, what did it mean to you? What was your image of your service?
I don't think I enjoyed it at the time, but now in retrospect, I think it didn't hurt me, and it made me probably more aggressive and more able to make snap decisions throughout my life.
Okay, what image from your service in the Marine Corps sticks with you the most? What do you remember most about being in the Marine Corps?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know. Pride in my service. I think I did job, and I'm proud of having served my country. I don't have to look back and feel ashamed of what I did or didn't do.
Yes. Okay, would you do it again?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't change anything.
So would you encourage your family members to join the military?
Not necessarily. I think that's the decision everyone should make for themselves and not be pressured into. My son asked me just recently how come I didn't encourage him to join the Marine Corps. He was marveling at the pride the Marines are supposed to have and their outfit. Well, that thought never ever crossed my mind, is to influence him one way or the other about getting out of high school and joining the Marine Corps or the Navy or whatever. I think that's a decision each man should make for himself.
Okay. Well, over the years, how do you feel that, about Hollywood's portrayal of World War II?
Hollywood's?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a lot of war movies, and they're all rather unrealistic. There, few of them are quite realistic. I can remember. I think the one that shook me up the most was Saving Private Ryan. It was pretty graphic. But I think, they idealized the war somewhat. But I think in general, I don't know. I realize it was a form of propaganda, and I think they probably did a good job of catering to them what the country needed at the time.
All right, and this is going to conclude our interview, and again, interviewing William Paul. It is April 18, 2005, and Mr. Paul, you do understand that this conversation has been recorded.
Right.
Okay.